Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this program. If you want to send us an email, as long as it's positive and encouraging, we call those K-Love emails.
Don't send them to K-Love, though.
No, K-Love, they get enough emails. But K-Love refers to themselves.
Basically, send us some Today's Issues emails, is
yes,
what they say.
As positive and encouraging. With their music and inspiration, and I have no problem with that. I'm just saying that we're going to use that for our email request. So if you email us, make it be positive and encouraging and inspire us in some way if you can. Right, Ed?
I love being inspired.
That's what I'm talking about.
Tim,
I like that attitude.
You got to fill us back up.
Uh-huh.
I understand that we inspire you.
Yes, we do.
Every day.
All day, every day.
Yeah, that's right. So we need to be filled back up with inspiration.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's like pass it forward.
Yeah.
Isn't that what they say?
Pay it forward. Pass it forward is what the Mississippi
NFL.
State will try to do.
In a football game.
In a football game.
Yes. Right. And hopefully be more successful this year. So Tim, Ed, and Fred, and we welcome now Steve Paisley-Jordahl.
Good morning, everybody.
To our studio. What's on your mind, Steve?
Oh, so much on my mind. Let's start by talking about AI.
Okay.
AI is the kind of unknown elephant in the room. And I've done stories for American Family News. It says it's going to destroy us all.
AI is.
I talked to.
I watched several movies that say that's going to happen.
There's some people who say that know what they're talking about. They say that's not real fiction. I've had stories that talk about them curing blindness.
Mm-hmm.
And doing all sorts of medical wonders.
Right.
One of the things that we have been told, that we told our young people, is that AI is coming for all the McDonald's jobs and everything. If you want to make a living, learn how to code. Learn how to do computers. Write computer code. Write programs for computers.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that's the future.
And by the way, we have a very fine IT department here at AFA, AFR.
At least for the next month.
And they have written programs
yes.
for us that help us
yes.
work more efficiently.
Well, Mike,
this is the reason I didn't go into this field is because of what Steve's about to say, because I saw it coming.
Yeah.
You did.
Sure.
Go ahead, Steve.
Mike Rowe, Dirty Jobs guy, he was at a conference giving a little talk and everything, and he's pushing back a little bit against that advice to young people to learn how to code. Cut 14.
Mm-hmm. We've been telling kids for 15 years to code. Learn to code, we said. Yeah, well, AI is coming for the coders. They're not coming for the welders. They're not coming for the plumbers. They're not coming for the steam fitters or the pipe fitters or the HVAC. They're not coming for the electricians. You know, that ideas festival I was telling you about in Aspen, I sat there and listened to Larry Fink say, we need 500,000 electricians in the next couple of years. Not hyperbole.
That was Mike Rowe. He was at the Pennsylvania Energy Innovation Summit. I think the same one that President Trump was at.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Mike Rowe.
Yeah, I am.
He is just down to earth. I loved his Dirty Jobs series, and he does the one that goes out on the boats with the does the narration.
Yeah, that's
and by Dirty Jobs, it was jobs that nobody else wants to
jobs
do.
Jobs that nobody else yeah. wants to do. But this is so practical. Because I see, Steve, what you're saying with your story is that you can tell AI now, I want a program to do this. And AI will spit it out in minutes.
It'll code it for you in seconds.
In seconds.
Yeah.
But as Mike Rowe is saying, AI cannot put a roof on a house.
Can't fix your air conditioner.
Can't put plumbing in.
Yeah. There's a lot of jobs, robotics, which is associated with AI, I'm not going to be able to do.
I mean, no.
You can use robotics. I'm saying that's part of AI. You can use that in our automation. You can use that in in jobs that like factories or plants or things of that nature. But to use it in what he described, those are jobs that are always going to be around.
Yeah.
There needs to be a discussion about AI in the church. Our good friend Bob McGinnis, who's a military analyst for us, but he is writing a book called AI for the Future. I think that's what it's called. It's going to be released pretty soon. And when it does, I've asked us if we can have him on for part of this 11 o'clock hour to talk, because he is doing a deep dive into not only what AI means for the future of mankind, but he puts it in terms of what's biblical. What does it mean? How does it relate to biblical prophecy and all that kind of stuff? It's good research. So
how long before we have pastors appear by hologram?
Probably do that now with AI.
Well, it can, now that's different.
To preach a sermon by hologram.
By hologram, you can.
It's holy. Am I right?
No, it's hologram. A different word. Hologram.
Oh, hologram.
Yeah, hologram.
Okay, well.
Now, that's. Are you talking about a real pastor appearing at a off campus?
Well,
you're not talking
doing
about
that.
A fake pastor.
Yeah.
That is a video. I've seen videos created entirely by AI, and they look Hollywood quality.
They do. Uh-huh.
Now, except for fingers, for some reason.
No, they got that solved now, too.
Do they really?
Yes.
Okay. So it really is incredible. The when you unleash the basically unlimited computing power, I've never even accessed sermons online like the internet. You can get full sermons online. That's not
AI.
It's
called plagiarism.
It is called plagiarism.
But who?
I've never done that. I can't imagine a real pastor.
No.
Wanting to copy and paste somebody else's.
However, on the pastor thing, we've discussed this before with Ray Pritchard when we've had him on. Because I think Ray Pritchard actually said, just for fun, he asked AI to give me a 3-point sermon on Psalm 23. And he spit it in 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh.
So
5 minutes, I'm surprised it took that long.
Yeah, probably not that long.
Yeah.
So
probably for him to read it.
I know pastors do research for their sermons.
Well, that's different. Research is different.
Okay, but could you jam AI producing something on a particular passage of Scripture under the heading of research?
Well, to me, research is just searching for the information that you want to use.
Bible commentaries.
But yeah, you can Bible commentaries. What I was talking about is getting the sermon. Listen, this is just maybe I'm old school, but before I do sermons, I pray. I read, and I ask the Holy Spirit to give me the things to say that God wants to say. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about, is giving that task over to AI. To me, there's something seems wrong with that. But, outlines, you can find outlines in Matthew Henry commentaries. That kind of thing, if you're going to add to or try to corral your information and maybe get some help that way, that's probably I'm talking about the task of finding out what God wants you to say to the congregation on Sunday and what needs to be in it. To me, that needs to be Spirit-led. And I get a little nervous sometimes about what kinds of spirits may be driving AI.
One of the first companies that I came across when I started doing research is one of the things I report on is artificial intelligence for us is a company called Pulpit AI. Hmm. Pulpit AI will take a pastor's message and he will make a social media strategy out of it. It'll take the message, it'll divide it up into daily Bible studies that you can send your congregation. It'll post, tweets about it. It has a whole social media. It's your social media team. It doesn't add content. It doesn't change content, but it does disseminate content very effectively and creatively.
Well, and I think Ray Pritchard mentioned also the cloning of his voice.
Yeah.
Wasn't that Ray?
Yeah.
Where AI cloned his voice. And then his sermons that were written, if someone wanted to hear the sermon, this AI program would, in his voice, read it.
Especially the sermons on Hezekiah.
Yes. Anyway, I'm not trying to drag this discussion
out. A lot of
this
is very disturbing.
Yeah.
Because how can we know what's real anymore in the coming years?
Boy, that's going to be a big challenge.
That is.
It already is a challenge for us news gatherers.
And apparently people who are baby boomers, like
All of us. I'm on the tail end.
I am less able to spot AI in video than young people. I see this all the time on social media. The boomer thinks this is real. It's AI, and they can seem to recognize it right away.
You mean cats playing the orchestra is not real?
By the way, I would like to have Bob McGinnis on to discuss that when he gets his book out.
Yeah, I've already asked us, and you've already told me I can. So.
Oh, okay.
What about one other question related to how can churches and pastors use AI in a way that's productive? What about if you have counseling sessions that are set up and you don't want to go to it?
You don't want to go to it?
Anything in particular?
There are some pastors that have been there, and they don't want to see Sister Lucy coming again.
Oh, I've
they
been there.
Okay, you've been there. You know, and so you just have your AI sit in there and do the counseling session for you.
Or do it online.
Kind
of like a Zoom call.
Yeah.
And it's a and
that's
it's
what
a
I'm talking
fake.
About.
It's a fake.
Everybody benefits.
Yeah.
Right there, I think. AI is probably giving better answers than you would. Am I right?
Well, I probably have a lot
I'm
of
I'm sorry, sister. What did you say?
Warmer congregation.
I got distracted. What's this called?
Oh,
somebody tell me what's
Brother
story.
Ed, you think it is okay that I hit my husband with a 2x4?
So I have to ask you one question.
Okay.
I have many questions. Of course, my dad was a preacher, too.
Yes.
For many years. So I was a PK.
Yeah.
I know the ins and outs and ups and downs of that world.
Right.
But I have to ask you, you served as a pastor. When you go out in the community, not on Sunday morning where you have to stand in the back of the church or whatever and shake hands. You don't have a choice. You have to listen. Be pleasant.
Yeah.
But you're at Walmart or you're at the grocery store and you see the person you know, and maybe they're not going to dump on you, but they're going to talk about something for 20 minutes.
Right.
Because they're one of those talkers. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And you can't get away?
Exactly. I know what you're talking about.
So what do you do? Do you intentionally, Ed, go to the see that, and then you go to
The liquor aisle.
Yeah, you go to not the liquor aisle, but you go a couple aisles over because you just don't have time.
So you want the honest answer?
I want the honest answer.
The honest answer is it depends if they see me first.
If they make eye contact, then.
It's you know
you're obligated.
I'm obligated.
But if I
see them first and they're not looking at me, I'm heading in another direction. I'm just giving. You said you wanted an honest answer.
I just wanted an honest answer.
That's right. Now, if it's someone who's suffered a loss or something,
I would never avoid them.
But if it's somebody that I know,
I'm just talking about the talker.
Yes,
because we all know there's 10 or 20% of our fellow Americans. And it doesn't matter if they're Christians or not.
You just can't shut them up.
You're going to be sitting there for 15 minutes.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Okay.
And I would not be above taking a book off the shelf and putting it next to my head as I walk down.
Like a box of cereal?
Yeah.
To block your head?
A box of Lucky Charms.
Yeah. I'm sure the Apostle Paul did that.
No. I freely admit.
I'm hiding behind that tree.
I am nowhere near the Apostle Paul level.
No, but I'm reading. Again, the letters of the Apostle Paul, he was pretty human.
He might be the guy that they avoid.
In some ways.
Yeah.
What was the letter he opens up? He goes, hey, you fools.
I think it might have been Galatians.
He
also used to turn people's flesh over to Satan.
Yes.
Now, and if that, I had
have
that
you ever done
of,
that?
If I had, no. If I had that kind of authority with God,
right.
I might say, no. Hey. Not when you're not talking to me today.
Are you saying there's a little bit of Donald Trump in the apostle?
So, haven't ever told somebody you counseling that you're turning their, what did you say?
Turning their flesh over.
Yeah, you haven't ever used that expression?
I have not. I've wanted to.
Again, honesty. That's what we appreciate. Honest. It.
That would be a hilarious little Twitter account. Apostle Paul's Twitter account.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, you know, you think about Paul as like, you know, some glowing, you know, right under Jesus. And he was. I mean, he's one of the greatest Christian figures in human history.
But, exactly.
But he also was very human.
Yeah.
He got ticked off.
about
a lot of things.
Remember when he didn't want to take Mark with him on the next journey?
Right.
Yeah.
Caused a little split.
Yeah. I'm not taking that kid with me.
And guess what happened?
And then later on, Mark matured.
Yes.
And Paul wanted
him to come.
Yep. Yeah. All right, hold on. Let me reintroduce this show here.
Because we are far afield.
Today's Issues, the name of this show on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Tim, Ed, Fred, and Steve. Go, Steve.
All right, so the discussion in Congress and around the country, political discussion, has been about these detention centers that Donald Trump is setting up, Alligator Alcatraz.
They're timeout centers.
Timeout centers. Yeah. Well, the Democrats like to say that they're inhumane. I saw one complain that you have to go to the bathroom in the same place you have to brush your teeth, which I'm thinking, has she not been in a modern home lately? But anyway, there's a congresswoman from Arizona. Her name is Yasmin Ansar.
Okay.
And she was taking on an expert witness there, and his name is Mike Howell. He's from the Heritage Foundation. And she wasn't really prepared. The first question is about these so-called inhumane conditions at these facilities, Cut 16.
So, Mr. Howell, I have a couple of questions for you. Very straightforward, yes or no. Do you support this type of treatment of human beings?
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. All the other Democrats haven't asked a question, so I kind of wasn't paying attention. Can you restate it?
Do you think that is acceptable treatment of human beings by the United States of America?
For illegal aliens to be detained throughout their immigration proceedings, yes.
To be treated
I think it's
in
the
that
law.
Way. To be treated in
I'm not
way.
Taking your word for it.
Okay. Do you believe that members of Congress are legally allowed to conduct oversight of ICE detention facilities?
As we've written extensively the oversight project, because we're trying to help keep your colleagues out of jail, you as an individual member do not have oversight authority. Oversight authority by the rules of the House flows through the full House to the chairman, and that right now is held by the majority. So
it is legally
the statute
allowed,
that you cite,
Mr.
it's going to end up with more Democrats clogging our jails. I want to keep you out of jail.
Claiming my time. Thank you. It is actually legal for members of Congress to go to detention center facilities that are operated by our government and to conduct oversight. That actually is legally allowed.
That is incorrect.
I love this guy.
Who was that going back and forth with?
That was Yasmin Ansar, a Democrat from Arizona, and Mike Howell of the Heritage Foundation. Who's tired of all this? Many Republicans, I think, are.
So he was before this
He was a witness on the panel.
And the Democrats, rather than ask him questions, just used their time prior to
talk
this
over
person,
him, right.
to just berate him. And so when he was finally asked a question, he said, I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. All the other Democrats, no, none of them have asked me a question. That's some excellent back and forth.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Absolutely.
Okay, so, but congressmen should, they do have, I know he answered, no, you don't, but they do have oversight, not in a direct sense. But they do have the legal authority to have oversight in a
federal facility like that.
It's a federal facility like
it,
that.
It, but yeah, there's a process.
But what he is referring to, they don't have a right to break in to one of these detentions.
Right. Show up and demand to be
let. Which is what they tried to do in New Jersey there back a few weeks ago.
Right.
Tried to barge in. What this gentleman was pointing out, yes, there is a procedure, but you got to go through the chairman of a committee to do it.
Right. I just wanted people not to any way, shape, or form misinterpret what we're saying here.
Yep.
We do believe, because there's going to be a Democrat president one day, and if they start doing stuff like throwing Christians in jail, mm-hmm. we're going to want to say, yes, Congress has a right to know what's going on. That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Some breaking news.
Breaking?
We got some breaking news.
Okay.
There was almost a break-in at the White House. The Onion reporting this, Cut 15.
A developing situation in Washington where just moments ago the White House was evacuated. Sources confirming that President Trump, as well as many key members of his administration, were rushed out of the building after the White House's trans alarm went off. Footage here showing the moment that infrared estrogen sensors detected a large spike in gender fluidity within dangerous proximity to the West Wing.
Trans. 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 Trans.
Oh, ONN's Jason Copeland joining us now from Washington with the latest. Jason, what can you tell us?
Yeah, Dwight, Secret Service has confirmed that this was in fact not a test, but rather the trans defense system being initiated by a trans person detected within the White House's cisgender-only radius. Now, per protocol, President Trump, as well as other members of his cabinet, have all been urgently outfitted with hormone-proof vests and ushered deep below ground into their traditional values bunker for their ultimate safety.
There you go.
The Onion. That's onion. Like a...
It's kind of like the
secular
Babylon Bee.
It's a secular Babylon Bee.
Secular.
In fact, not the Bee, the people that are the offshoot of the Babylon Bee, they're the ones that pointed this out, said finally they got a pretty funny video. It's actual...
The Onion.
It is sarcastic against those who don't want this trans nonsense everywhere, but it's pretty funny. that was pretty well done. And you know what that proves? Is that conservatives and Bible-believing Christians can have fun. We have a sense of humor. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's the radical left that has no sense of humor.
Yeah.
And they're not going to find anything on the Babylon Bee funny.
No, they don't. They try to censor it at times.
That's right.
There's more breaking news. ICE is on the move, and they have hit the studios at ABC. This is scary. This is, I got 17?
News tonight, the president has deported the cast of The View. Their show will be replaced by 4 hours of screaming goat videos. Not much of a difference there.
That who did that? That sounded like
Whoopi Goldberg.
No, I'm talking about the goats. Oh. The voice of the
That was a Jake Tapper or either
It's Anderson Cooper's who it
Anderson
sounded
Cooper,
like.
That's who it was. But
could have been AI Anderson.
It was Anderson Cooper's voice sounded like.
Yeah, it sounded like it. And that's hilarious. The View.
I got to show you. I'll show you the video here, and we can put it up. The videos. I won't play the sound, but the video is funny because at the end they have the goats on the set of The View.
Oh no.
Oh yeah.
So is this how you spent your morning?
Yeah. That's funny.
That's how I spend every morning, Ed.
Yeah. Is the View still a thing, I guess?
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
And you know what? They get a pretty good viewership.
Watchers? Yeah.
They have hate watchers, and then they also have an audience. MRC, Media Research Center, has a guy, Nick Fondacaro. His sole job is to watch The View. And
poor
and,
fella.
I know, right?
Yeah.
He gets 8 weeks of vacation every year.
He's still got Joy Bear and...
Joy Behar, which Behar is not related to Ted Bear.
Yeah.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi Goldberg.
The others.
The conservative is Joe Farah's daughter.
And yes. The rest here on The View.
What's her name?
The Farah?
Conservative.
The conservative.
On The View.
Oh, I don't know.
Anyway, she is Joe Farah, a friend of ours. Haven't talked to him in a long time. That's his daughter.
Oh, wow. Joe Farah's daughter?
Yeah. Okay. Is this Farah Griffith or whatever her name is?
So
Sonny Hostin, Sarah Haynes, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, Alyssa Farah Griffin.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
So we should have insulted her.
Insulted her?
Yeah, by showing a goat sitting in for her.
Well, she...
By the way,
the conservative on this sometimes is to the left of AOC.
Conservative. All right. By the way, The View averages about 3 million viewers
a day.
Yes. So that's not bad for daytime.
For the time of day.
Yeah.
But I think if you would replace them with four goats, you would probably get as many viewers.
As long as
we're talking Americans here.
As long as they were feigning goats.
Right?
I want to make a loud noise and see them all pass out.
All right. We hope that you captured something of value today.
It would have been
during
difficult.
This hour and a half. And you have a great rest of your Thursday. You're here tomorrow?
So, I'm here, sure.
So Trivia Friday tomorrow, and Brother JJ will be back with us. So Trivia Friday tomorrow on this show. We'll see you. Take care.